The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Mary had a little man.
We believe that all men are created equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
The superpower for the Democratic Party is hope. Democrats, we hope and believe that our better days are ahead of us and not behind us. Hope is on the ballot. You should be able to live the American dream.
Regardless of your background, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your gender identity, who you love, how you love, who you pray to.
That is the hope that the Democratic Party fights for each and every single day.
If you are really serious about hope, then the only thing that you can do to make that hope real is vote.
Vote, vote, vote.
That is how we bring hope back to this nation.
IWillVote.com. IWillVote.com. Yay. Go. Go vote. All right, somebody is going to be right and somebody is going to be wrong, and I don't know when, either at the end of today, the beginning of tomorrow, maybe Saturday. I don't know. We don't know. Because you have rules, and the rules in the last 2 years in Republican legislatures have not changed. Even though they complain, they bitch, they moan, they scream, they yell, they point, they say, oh, it's this, it's that, it's not good, it's not real, it's not honest, it's not open. But they didn't change anything. So in places like Pennsylvania, you still could not count the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots, until today. Some places you could. Some places you could actually begin counting the mail-in since you already had them. You would think, you know, if you wanted to be efficient, if you wanted to be, have some production line idea that they, impose on us as workers, we have to produce, if the legislatures were interested in that, you would think that they could count them as they receive them. But oh no, oh hell no, you can't do that. So this is where we are, and this is what we're going to have to wait for. We're going to have to wait for places like Pennsylvania. We're going to have to wait for places like Georgia. Georgia, by the way, is a runoff state, as you probably remember, and that means that if nobody gets over 50%, if Herschel Walker, oh my God, how is this? How am I even saying this with a straight face? Herschel Walker wins the Senate race in Georgia, but he doesn't get 50% of the vote. Well, then there's a runoff, and we won't know who the senator is from Georgia until, what, January? December? I mean, this is just, this is madness. It really is. I'm just sitting here looking at some of these people, just some of the names, some of the election deniers, the conspiracy theorists, QAnon adherents. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene versus Marcus Flowers, and that is an issue. That's a question. That's something that people in that district in Georgia are wrestling with. Sane or insane? I don't know. But I will tell you this, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong, but MAGA is not going to accept whatever. They're just not. They're not going to accept anything. Today's election day, anything can happen. But the only thing I know for sure is MAGA won't accept whatever happens, even if they win. Because remember, in 2016, Donald Trump said it was rigged. Remember? And he won. He won. He wanted to win by more or some such crap. It's like the Houston Astros saying that they won the World Series, damn it, in four games. You know what I'm saying? They just want to say it. Oh, speaking of Houston, oh my God, this is unbelievable. So they're trying to tell us that Texas is, you know, totally in the bag and that Beto has no chance and Abbott's going to get reelected. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz, the sitting senator from the red state of Texas, actually went to the Houston Astros World Series parade. Did you see this? You did?
One of those feel-good moments of the year.
There's Ted in the bright orangey red shirt. There he is. And the crowd is booing him, booing him. Booing him. I'm going to show you something else. This is not cool. I just want you to understand this is not cool. But this is a guy who literally chucked a beer can at Ted Cruz. Not cool. Do not throw things at U.S. senators, okay? Just want to get on the record there. But look, there he is. And he caught it. Hey, you! You! Okay, guy got arrested.
No, I'm actually glad you said that, because although the booing was wonderful, that not cool, especially
not
considering
cool.
The current climate.
Yeah.
And I heard some, you know, baseball fans, not fans of Houston, not fans of Ted, say some other things. And I've tried to be like, yeah, let's just temper that a little bit. If he'd gotten hurt, this
could have
gotten
ugly. Well,
what did they
say? Were they
just
for
be like,
it?
Hey, yeah, awesome.
Oh, no, not cool. Not cool at all. You don't throw things at people, any people, let alone, you know, senators at parades. Who does that? That's just wrong. That is uncool. That is uncalled for. That is unnecessary. He could have gotten hurt. He literally, you know, the guy in front of him pretty much batted it away, almost caught it.
I'm also glad that it didn't like catch on with other people in the crowd. It was just kind of a one-off instead of something that could have escalated into something really bad for everybody.
Yeah. I agree. Not cool. Not good. Do not throw things at people. Okay. Don't break into, speakers of the houses, houses. Don't hold their husbands hostage. Don't threaten to break the kneecaps of the speaker of the house if she doesn't answer the questions the way that you want them answered. Don't throw beer cans at senators. Don't kidnap governors of Michigan. Don't threaten to kidnap governors of Michigan. And don't, sit over on the other side of the Potomac with your quick reaction force weapons in a Motel 6 or whatever. Just not cool. Not good. Not smart. Not American. Really something else. Really Somalian or some other, third world nation. Don't do that. Don't do it. But somebody's going to be right today and somebody's going to be wrong today. And when I say somebody, I mean that there are two schools of thought on the Democratic side of this question of voting, right? I will just say this. Listen, win or lose, it's better to have voted. It's better to have tried. It's better to have felt like you were involved, like you had your voice, heard, you were part of it. And then if you lose and you didn't vote, you're going to feel like you were the problem. And you were. And you were. But here's the divide. There are two camps. There is the Maher camp, as in Bill Maher. Maher? Bill Maher? Is that his name? No, kidding. Bill Maher. There's the Bill Maher side. And Bill Maher is saying, the United States, this is it. We're done. It's cooked. It's over. He says that the America is like the Titanic, which is not really true. Okay, listen, it would only be true if the iceberg was on the Titanic. See what I'm saying, Bill? If the iceberg was on the Titanic and it was wearing a MAGA hat, then you could say that America is like the Titanic. Because, you know, there was the iceberg was, an act of nature, right? She's there because of nature. The reason why we have this horrible situation in America is not because of Mother Nature. It's because people are doing it on purpose. People are literally setting us up to be divided. People are literally setting us up to be cracked in half. You know what I'm saying? So put it this way. If we were like the Titanic would have to be full of iceberg deniers, I guess. Do you know what I'm saying? But anyway, Bill Maher says that it's over. America is over and that America is like the Titanic. And then you have Michael Moore who's saying, no, Democrats will prevail because you're pretending that women have gotten over the fact that you took away their rights. You're saying that the men who love women have also gotten over the fact that the women that they love have no autonomy in their own person, right? Somebody's going to be wrong.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
Yes, I mean, unless there's a oddity with the polling, it's going to be a very good day for the Republicans. As we both have mentioned, the majority of Republicans running for Congress, for Senate, for House, and for state houses. The people who are going to decide who is the president in 2024 are election deniers. Hmm. They don't believe in this crazy idea that the guy with the most votes wins. So what happens in 2024 is Trump is going to try the coup he tried in 2020, which was plainly an attempted coup. There's no other way to look at it. But this time he's going to have in place this army of deniers who will support him. And he is going to show up. I promise you, I will bet every money, bit of money I have, he will show up on inauguration day on 2025, whether he's the winner or not. And then we'll see what happens. And then we'll see how much we look like other countries that we thought, oh, that could never happen to us. Yeah, it could. And, yeah, it could.
And he may have thousands of people with arms.
As he did January 6th. You think they're going to stay home now that this has happened again and they have all these people in place that are on their side? Oh, no, my friend. It's going to be very interesting.
So Bill Maher literally thinks that we're going to lose, the House and maybe even the Senate today. He thinks that we're going to lose state legislatures. That's, 27 secretaries of state who we will be electing today, in 27 different states, that they will all be election deniers. So, wait, first of all, how could you be an election denier and then run for election? I don't even understand it. And then why would you vote in an election if you're an election denier, if you don't think it's free and fair going in? All right. But Bill Maher thinks that we're becoming a third world nation is what he's saying, and that Donald Trump's going to show up in 2025, whether he wins or not, whether he runs or not. And he's going to, do a coup with the same crazy people that were there on January 6th, but armed to the teeth, except this time not leave the weapons on the other side of the Potomac, but bring them into the district. I don't understand it, but this is what he's predicting. And, Bill Maher was one of those people that said that Trump would not leave. Of course, a lot of people said Trump would not leave because nobody thought that Trump was going to leave quietly. Everybody that understood that Donald Trump was a narcissist and anything about narcissists understood that he would rather burn it down, like if I can't have her, then nobody else can kind of crap. So I don't know. But then Michael Moore said, no, the Dems are going to win.
To believe that we're going to lose on Tuesday and that they're going to take over, you have to accept certain assumptions. For instance, you have to believe what the pollsters and people have been telling us that since the Roe decision, women were very upset back in June when the decision came down. But now, they've kind of collected themselves and they're not so upset because they're thinking more about the price of a gallon of gas or the can of Campbell's soup is up 27 cents. And how women are, they're just once they hear that the soup has gone up 27 cents a can or the gas, what's gas this week now? It's about 20 cents over last year at this time per gallon. Right away, women are like, I don't need these reproductive rights. I want less at the gas pump. I mean, it's so condescending and so, I just wonder as I watch the news and listen to the pundits and the pollsters, Do they know any women?
So those are the two schools of thought. And somebody is going to be incorrect with their school thought there. But if you know how, like, now today you're watching the news and everybody's telling you these are the things you need to know before you go and vote. These are the last things you need to know. You know what you need to know? You need to listen to 20 seconds of that Trump rally last night. That's all you need to know. Just listen to 20 seconds of that unhinged freak of a person, or anything Herschel Walker ever said in public, in private, anything he ever did, you know, and you'll know what to do. You will. You'll know exactly what to do. So, you know, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. I will tell you that, you know, the polls are indicating a thing, and the thing that they're indicating is that we all are fine with having our rights taken away as women, and that the men that, you know, have daughters, they're fine with their daughters having less rights than, you know, I did, or than their wives do. They're fine with that. That's what they want to leave for their daughters: less rights, less choices in their reproductive life. That, you know, and you know, no IVF if God forbid they want to start a family, but you know, they marry the wrong guy, or there's something you know, that needs a little extra oomph to be a grandpa, the dads are okay. Really? Is what we're supposed to believe? That, and that we're doing it all because, you know, the cost of a ham sandwich is like you know, 30 cents more, or a dollar more, or $2 more, or let's say it was $10 more, you know, that we're for sale? I honestly don't know. But Mar is saying, yeah, no, this is, you better get ready, get used to it, because we're a third world nation now, you know, and that the far right MAGA Republicans of the Stop the Steal variety are, you know, going to perform really well in an election today. I have no idea. I will tell you that candidate quality should matter to you. It should. And that, you know, some people are, you know, serious, and some people are.
Don't let them ride your bike no more, Senator. Get that saddle off your bike and straighten your bike up.
What?
You letting that president ride your bike. You doing everything they tell you to do. Hey, let me tell you, I don't dance and sing for nobody. I never have. I'm from Wrightsville, Georgia. The Lord has washed me in the blood of Jesus. So right now, I know I represent Georgia. And when I come out, I'm ready to represent Georgia today. Because I love you guys. You guys are my family.
What? And then yesterday, just so you know, I didn't pull it, but yesterday he said that if Martians came to Georgia, he would protect the Martians because they're his family. I don't know. I mean, and this is like somebody that people are actually considering to be a United States senator. That for me right there, that's the problem with the, you know, the whole system. The candidate quality, the character, the integrity doesn't even matter anymore. The honesty, the decency, the nonviolent nature, it doesn't matter anymore. You could have a guy who actually says, I played Russian roulette. You could have a guy who actually says, I held a gun to my wife's head. And there will be people that don't think that makes him a bad man. I have news for you. If you hold a gun to your wife's head, you're a bad man. Yes, you are. You're a bad, bad man. If you hold a gun to anybody's head, you're a bad person. There's something bad about you, something wrong. Something evil, something unholy, something violent, something, you know, that, you know, can't get washed. I don't know. But I don't think Herschel Walker's going to win. But, you know, I could be wrong. You know, crazier things have happened. I really don't know. Honestly, I don't know. What I do know is 45 million of us already cast our ballots. 45 million of us voted early. In Texas, 5 million people voted early. In Florida, 5 million people voted early. California, 4.7 million people voted early. So there's a lot there's a lot of votes already banked.
Clear. 4. All in. Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
Tuning out's not an option. Sulking and moping, that's not an option. The only way to make this economy fair is if we, all of us, fight for it. The only way to save democracy is if we, together, fight for it. And it starts with electing people who know you, who see you, who care about you, who stood in your shoes. You did that 2 years ago when you sent Joe Biden to the White House. He's fighting for you every day. He's got your back, doing everything he can to put more money in your pockets, to make our streets safer, to bring more good-paying jobs here to Pennsylvania. Now you need to do it again. Because while there may be a lot of issues at stake in this election, there is one basic question that you should be asking yourself right now, and that is, who will fight for you? That's the choice in this election. Who will fight for you? Who will fight for working people who are struggling to pay their bills? You know, listen, inflation's a real problem right now. It's not just here in America, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the legacy of the pandemic. It wrecked supply chains, disrupted the economy. Then you've got a war in Ukraine that sent energy prices through the roof. So, you know, folks see grocery prices going up, gas prices going up. It takes a real bite out of their paychecks. It hurts. I get that. But the question you've got to ask yourself is, who's actually going to do something about it?
Yeah, really.
The Republicans like to talk about it. But what's their answer? What's their economic policy? They want to gut Social Security. They want to gut Medicare. They want to give rich folks and big corporations more tax cuts. By the way, don't boo. Vote. They can't hear you boo, but they'll hear you vote.
Yeah. And that's why the GOP is very busy telling you how, you know, you have to jump through this hoop and that hoop, and don't forget to sign and date your ballot. And if you do, if you forget to date your ballot, like a United States Postal Service postmark now means nothing next to you handwriting the date that you filled out your ballot. Are you freaking kidding me? But no, that's a real thing. That's going on. This is local television in Philadelphia today.
Philadelphia election officials are warning that thousands of mail-in ballots are at risk of being rejected.
Oh,
they've
no.
issued a list of affected voters, allowing them time and the opportunity to fix whatever their ballot issues may be.
Well, anchor Yuki Washington joining us now to explain how to see that list at this point. First, what are the issues, Yuki, with these mail ballots?
Natasha Siafa, it's all over small errors. Some of the ballots have incorrect information. Some are missing handwritten dates, and some are so-called naked ballots, meaning they were not put in the secrecy envelope. Now, at least 3,500 Philadelphia mail-in ballots have those issues. That could cause them to be rejected.
What?
Philadelphia election officials released a list of the affected voters so far. We have that on CBSPhiladelphia.com. Officials say there is time for those voters to fix the errors on their ballots, but only if they act quickly.
You better act quickly, Philly. There is a list at CBSPhiladelphia.com. I went there to see where the list is. Okay, there's this long-ass story there that a lot of you are just going to say, I don't see the list. Just go to the end. Scroll to like page 3 of this article. And at the end of CBSPhiladelphia.com, okay, the article that talks about the ballots that need to be fixed because you didn't date it. You didn't put the date on it. Or it's nude. Your ballot is stark raving nude. It's naked. It's naked, everybody. Why? Because you didn't put it in the privacy sleeve. And now they want to toss your ballot for that? Does that somehow make the ballot illegible? Not understandable? You have the ballot today. Today, election supervisor, which means it got there before the end of election day. What is the issue with the date? This makes no sense, but if you want to, you know, check and see if you're on the list, CBSPhiladelphia.com. Scroll to the end of the article, and you will see at the end the list of Philadelphia residents who returned ballots in the above categories are available in PDF or Excel formats here. No signature. And there's a PDF or an Excel if you prefer. No date. There's a PDF. Potentially incorrect date. What? How could the date be Oh, I get it. So somebody put, you know, the year of their birth instead of the date that they filled out the freaking ballot. That somehow makes the ballot illegible, uncountable, illegitimate. What? Dude, not enclosed in a security envelope, a.k.a. naked ballot. There's about 3,600 of those. And you know, Pennsylvania is going to be tight. It's going to be close. The difference between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh is something you should notice. And then understand that there are other counties that are more rural and there are places that are more urban. And these are so please do go fix your freaking ballot. If, you know, you're on this list. I just a date. So, okay, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because obviously the GOP does not want you to vote. Now, why, if they have all these solutions to all the terrible problems that are plaguing our nation, why don't they offer those as, you know, reasons to vote for them instead of, you know, telling you we're going to toss your vote, we're going to throw out your vote? Or, hey, you know what our answer is? Herschel Walker. What? He's the answer to what? All of our problems. Oh, my God. No, they have no solutions for inflation. And anybody who tells you they do is lying to you because inflation is a piece of a global disordered supply and demand balance. Okay? Inflation is supply and demand. When demand is high and supply is low, that's when things get expensive. So that's the first thing that you need to know. And the second thing that you need to know is that the Republicans have no solution to bring supply and demand into balance, okay? They couldn't care less. The other thing is that the corporations that are funding these campaigns, they're not interested in anti-gouging laws either, and we know that the Republicans voted no when it was time to vote to stop the gouging. They said no, all of them. All of them, the whole House voted to let you be gouged, to let me be gouged. At the pump, to let me be gouged at the pharmacy, to let me be gouged at the, you know, the grocery store. Wherever we're shopping, we should be gouged. Because that was a bill that was put on the floor. There was a vote. They don't have the votes to pass it in the Senate. But every Republican in the House voted not to stop gouging. And if there isn't any gouging going on, then what's their beef with stopping gouging? You see what I mean? No. Billions, $2 billion, I think. Like an enormous amount of money has been poured into this election. Who has that kind of money? Right.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show.
It
to
is.
Speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
You know, money is the oxygen, right, in the financial or in the election system, right? And the money is pumping, the money is flowing here. Looking at $16.7 billion projected here for this midterm.
That's oh
all
my God.
Way more than 2018 and 2014. When you look at the spending by state, excuse me, you guys, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Ohio, Wisconsin, these are huge numbers that we're seeing. And who's doing all the spending? Look at the Senate Leadership Fund, $205.4 million. That's aligned with GOP leadership. The Congressional Leadership Fund, 188. Senate Majority PAC, that's aligned, of course, with Dem leadership. And then the House Majority PAC, 93.6 million there. And up and down the ballot, you guys, huge numbers up and down the ballot. We've seen records for how much money has been spent on ballot initiatives for state races, for some of these Secretary of State races. So really huge numbers here. And also when you look at the billionaires are spending a lot of money here. Billionaires, with a week to go, they spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. The names you know, George Soros, Ken Griffin, some new crypto billionaires and the like, but 3-2 breaking for Republican causes.
3-2 breaking for Republican causes, but George Soros is your boogeyman. I mean, honestly, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? Are you just so ate up with hatred, you know, and that's a convenient little anti-Semitic, you know, trope that you feel comfortable just repeating? 3-2, the billionaires are spending money on the GOP. Why? Because they want tax cuts. They want tax cuts, and they want that money that is being spent on us. They want the money that is spent on Medicare. They want the money that's spent on Social Security. And if they can privatize Social Security and Medicare, you know, and they could get a, you know, a control over trillions of dollars, trillions, then, you know, it's worth a couple billion. This is so sick. It is so crazy. I don't know if you remember Evan Bayh. Evan Bayh was a senator from Indiana years ago. Okay, he quit. He quit 12 years ago, because he said he could not work with people that were trying to, you know, like stab him in the back every 5 minutes, every 4 minutes, every 3 minutes, every 2 minutes. He said, and now it's gotten worse. It's gotten absolutely worse because of social media, because of guys who, you know, are out there spreading, you know, disinformation, misinformation, rumor mongering, you know, ginning up violence and hatred.
I think things have gotten worse, even worse in the last 12 years, from what I hear from my friends and colleagues who still serve in Congress. And the demonization of our political opponents seems to just get more extreme with the passage of time. I think more members of Congress now feel as if they're rewarded for saying and doing outrageous things, including demonizing individuals, which probably led to the attack on the speaker's husband, regrettably. They get more clicks on their social media. They see money coming in on their online fundraising. And so it's just a cycle that perpetuates itself. And it's regrettable. So I think it's gotten worse in the last 12 years.
Then realistically, do you foresee anything that could change that?
Yes, your viewers can change that. We all can change that. We need to stop rewarding people who just tear down the system and run nothing but negative ads. They tell us what they're against, but what are they for? We need to support candidates who realize that at the end of the day, even though we're liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans, more than anything, we're Americans.
Oh, isn't that old-fashioned and sweet? Evan Bayh, so sweet. We're, in the end, we're all Americans, is what we are. You know, listen, obviously he gets it. And what's happened here is people do get rewarded for being violent. They do get rewarded for their bullying and their aggression and their pointing at other people, even children now, and saying they're the reason why things are so effed up. They're the reason they're putting litter boxes. That never happened. This is such bullcrap. To the point, though, where people get rewarded for saying the most outrageous thing, for doubling down on outrage, for tripling down, for quadrupling down. Children think they're furries, you know, and so they need to have litter boxes in the classroom. This is something that I swear to you happens on social media, and people retweet it. They believe it. They actually like it. And people make money off of putting it out there. They do. It's sick and it's twisted. I mean, but this is how you end up with guys like Herschel Walker, who said he had a special machine. Remember the machine that he told Glenn Beck he had? That you could just, you know, like walk through this machine and it would cleanse you. It would cleanse you. And so no COVID. Remember that? He sat there and lied about that. And let me refresh.
Do you know right now I have something that can bring you into a building that would clean you from COVID as you walk through this dry mess? As you walk through the door, it would kill any COVID on your body, EPA, FDA approved.
Yeah, that's not true. He never had a machine. It was never FDA approved, his imaginary machine. He is just bat crap. And people gave him money for saying stuff like that. And, you know, now he's going to be on the ballot to be the United States Senator from Georgia. I can't believe it. It does take your breath away. It really, truly just takes your breath away. That this is the quality of person that is being considered to be one of 100 Americans in the United States Senate. Holy crap. How bizarre. So Evan Bayh understands it's gotten worse. It has totally gotten worse. There is no question how bad things are as far as, you know, candidates and choices that people have or don't have. I would imagine that there will be a lot of Georgians who just don't show up to vote today because they cannot make themselves vote for Herschel Walker, and they would rather die than vote for a Democrat, like, you know, a Reverend Raphael Warnock, who actually walks the walk. I don't know. But I'm imagining that that's going to be kind of an epidemic in a lot of places where people just can't make themselves vote for Doug Mastriano. They just can't make themselves vote for somebody who's that anti-Semitic or that ugly. I don't think Carrie Lake is going to prevail, and I know a lot of people do. I just don't think that Arizona is that bat crap crazy. I understand Florida is the second chance state, and Arizona is the last chance state. I get it. But I don't think they're that gone that they say, oh, yeah, let's choose an election denier. Let's choose an anti-Semitic QAnon adherent to be our Secretary of State and our governor. What could go wrong? I don't buy it. I don't think we're that far gone. I could be wrong. We'll see. Maybe Saturday we'll find out. I don't know. I have no earthly idea. I really don't know. But, you know, listen, this is what the campaign sounded like last night.
Now, before I go, I have to ask the question. Has anybody seen Lion Tim Ryan or that drunk, nasty Nancy Pelosi or my opponent, Marcy Kaptur, here tonight?
Okay, I just need to explain this to you. Nancy Pelosi, famously, just like Donald Trump, does not drink. Yeah, I know. But this is this guy who is, you know, a stolen valor dude who said, you know, that his service to this country was much more than it really was. I think he was a mechanic. But he said he was like some hero or some such thing. This is that Majewski dude. So he's standing there at the he's the opening act for the Trump last night in Dayton, Ohio. And he's calling, Nancy Pelosi a drunk and Tim Ryan a coward or whatever.
Now, I'm a little disappointed in that. I was hoping Timmy the ass kicker and the Golden Girls of D.C. would actually show up. After all, they're the ones that said MAGA needs to be confronted and killed.
Nobody
said
that.
Well, Timmy, if you're watching, and I know you are. Uh-huh. There's a whole lot of MAGA going on right now in Dayton, Ohio. And you should come on down here. I double dog dare you.
Oh, yeah, great. I'm gonna take him out.
Folks, I can't wait to see Trump Force One pull up on that tarmac. I hope we hear the announcement tonight that we've been waiting for. Trump 2024.
Okay, so Donald Trump did show up in his giant private airplane, his aircraft, and he did not announce. And Majewski was, you know, pretty much saying to Tim Ryan, he should come out back and let him, let them two of them go at it. Really? This is how you're campaigning in a civilized society? And this is what I'm talking about. They get rewarded for, you know, this kind of, taunting and aggression and, hey, let me take you out back and kick your ass. This is eighth grade schoolyard crap. This is not House of Representative crap. This is not governorship caliber argument. This is not a senator's argument. This is not anybody who holds a position of honor in this country campaigning. This is fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe if you were a little slow, eighth grade schoolyard bullying crap. And apparently the people that show up at these rallies, that's the way they like it. They like it like fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe eighth grade if they're slow. Sad.
We believe that all men are created equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
A quick reminder.
Vote.
Go to iwillvote.com to find out where and how.
Oh!
iWillVote.com. If you don't know where to vote today, you have time. You should vote. You need to go. It is better to have voted and lose than it is to have not voted and lose. Because if you don't vote and you lose, you will sit there in the middle of the night and say, I was part of the problem. And you would be right. You would be correct, sir. You would be absolutely 100% correct that you didn't even try. I mean, come on. This is like low impact, workout voting. It's really simple, really easy. Anyway, last night, Nancy Pelosi was finally, willing to sit down and discuss what happened to her husband. And it was hair-raising that this is going on in these United States of America. That this is the kind of violence that we see. I mean, what do we have to live through the 60s to process how many people we lost? You know, I swear to God, I think I'll just tell you what, you know, how I feel about the Jesus thing. I believe that Martin Luther King Jr. was either Jesus or imbued with the spirit of the Jesus to the point where he walked like Jesus. Okay, he talked like Jesus. He sacrificed like Jesus. He turned the other cheek like Jesus. He was persecuted like Jesus. And he totally rose to the occasion. Totally. I also think Oprah has that quality of selflessness, of trying to do the greater good, of trying to make people see the best in others, trying to understand what is not understood, trying to expose people to people that might not be exactly like them or people that they've ever come in contact with, in order to take the fear of others and drown it in a bathtub. Not democracy, but the fear of others. Not government, but the fear of others. Small enough to drown in a bathtub. And I really believe that if Jesus himself showed up today, you'd kill him. I really believe that. I think the most Christian of the Christian would kill him. They would think he was some brown liberal dude. He was a foreigner. He spoke in Aramaic. What the hell is that? I don't need my ballot written in Aramaic. I don't need signs in Aramaic. Why is this in, you know, a different language? It makes no sense to me. This is America. This is America. You know what I'm saying? And I think you would eschew him. I think you would, tell him to go take a hike. I don't think you'd vote for him. I don't think you'd choose him. I don't think you'd follow him. I don't think you'd want to be in a room with him. And so the idea that, you know, in the 60s, we lost some of the greatest leaders this country has ever, ever seen. Everyone from Martin Luther King Jr. to Malcolm X to Medgar Evers to, you know, JFK to RFK's brother. And now we're seeing this kind of political violence yet again in this country. And it's being committed upon people who are very religious. Nancy Pelosi is a very religious woman, whether you know it or not. Anyway, she finally sat down and discussed how she found out that her husband had been attacked by an intruder at 2:30 in the morning. Okay, it was 2:30 in the morning in LA or in California, in San Francisco. Okay, and she had just gotten to Washington, D.C. that day. So there's a 3-hour time difference. So for her, it was like 5:00 in the morning.
Where were you when you got the news?
Well, I was sleeping in Washington, D.C. I had just gotten in the night before from San Francisco. And the I hear the doorbell ring and think, it's 5-something. I look up, I see it's 5. They must be the wrong apartment. No, it rings again, and then bang, 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 bang on the door. So I run to the door, and I'm very scared. I see this Capitol Police, and they said, we have to come in to talk to you. And I'm thinking, my children, my grandchildren. I never thought it would be Paul, because, you know, I knew he wouldn't be out and about, shall we say. And so they came in at that time. We didn't even know where he was or what his condition was. We just knew there was an assault on him in our home. And now they were taking him to a hospital, which turned out to be San Francisco General, which is a leading trauma center. Thank God they went there. It wasn't the closest. We have hospitals a few blocks away. It wasn't the closest, but it was the right place to go for that.
He was actually struck in the head with the hammer.
Right on the top, two places, and that's pretty awful. That's pretty awful. But the good news was when he came, when he had the operation, and we were blessed by the healthcare professionals at San Francisco General, they told us it had not pierced his brain, which is deadly or worse.
So the hammer had not actually cracked?
Oh, no, it had cracked, yeah. Well, what they have to do is they have to take off the skull, reshape it, put it back so it isn't scratch or pierce the brain.
Oh, good God. Oh, good God. Okay. So you get the lay of the land there. Okay, she got all choked up trying to explain it to us. But this is what Trump said later the same night. This was last night. This was last night. Okay?
Pelosi said, please don't call them animals. They're human beings. I said, no, they're animals. Of course, I think she's an animal, too. You want to know the truth?
Oh, my God.
They'll say, oh, what a horrible thing he said about Nancy. She impeached me twice for nothing.
For nothing?
For nothing.
Extortion
They'll
and
say,
for January 6th.
These people, 6th. The fakers back there, they'll say, what a horrible thing. He called Nancy Pelosi an animal. Let me tell you, what she does to this country and what she did to the, and the turmoil, and it was all, I used the word yesterday, I shouldn't, my great first lady got very upset. I said, I will never use the word bullshit again. But what she did to us in this country, and yet we got more done as an administration and a president than just about any president in the history of our country in 4 years.
What did he get done? What? What did he get done besides a tax cut for the very wealthy?
He built that big wall, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah, a wall that never got built that he promised. The man left, and he was the first president, I think, in the history of the United States who left the presidency with fewer jobs than he came to office with. Unemployment when he left was almost 7%. Okay, it's 3.7% now. Okay, we have more Americans working now than at any point in United States history. We have increased manufacturing jobs in this country to the largest number in 70 years. What is he, and why do they love when he says bullcrap? I mean, that word just, you know, he cursed. Yeah, so did Richard Nixon, okay? And they were both criminals. I just don't understand it. What she did to this country, she passed the largest investment in climate change in the history of this nation, the CHIPS and Science Act, that already you can see that we're going to be able to invest in factories here that make semiconductors and the wafer chips that we now have to get from China. From China. I mean, I swear to God, the guy just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked about China, 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 China. And me and Xi, we were great friends. I loved him. Xi is the king. Xi is great. Until the China virus. What? So the guy got over on you? Is that what you're admitting? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're copping to? Is that what you're telling people happened? Oh, my God. And here we are actually putting our money where our mouth is, where he would not. And that's investing in America so that we don't have to depend on China for computer chips, which we do. Crazy.
Things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
The former president of the United States, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, others have spread stories casting doubt on what happened, fomenting conspiracy theories. What do you have to say to them?
It's really sad for the country. Yeah. It's really sad for the country that people of that high visibility would separate themselves from the facts and the truth in such a blatant way. It's really sad, and it is traumatizing to those affected by it, They don't care about that, obviously. Yeah. But it's destructive to the unity that we want to have in our country. But I don't have anything to say to them. I mean, we have nothing. There would be no common ground to have any conversation with them.
You know, that is very statesmanlike, I must say. Her husband's head was literally broken. His skull was cracked to the point where they had to remove his skull, reshape his skull, put his skull back on his 82-year-old head so it wouldn't pierce his brain. It wouldn't have jagged edges that could do damage to his brain. And the conspiracy mongers out there that are looking for eyeballs or clicks or, you know, money, they go out there and they call her an animal. They spread rumors and innuendo about her husband's, loyalty to her, about his sexuality, as if, you know, that's their business or something they should be commenting on. Or just for the sake of, you know, ginning up controversy or creating a new conspiracy theory. And her reaction to all of that is, it's sad for the country. I would like to see us have the unity in this country that we used to have. And this is damaging to the unity that this country used to have. Yes, it's traumatizing for me and my family, but that doesn't matter. What matters is it's bad for the country. Wow, that's pretty stunning. That's really big of her. That's amazing, considering you have people who went to Ivy League colleges that stand on stages and call her an animal. Oh my God. Oh my God. Listen, this was Josh Hawley last night.
Got a military that is more interested in pronouns than in winning wars. We've got an FBI that is more interested in treating parents as domestic terrorists.
None of that is true. The FBI is not interested in treating any parent as a domestic terrorist, nor is the military obsessed with pronouns. Not that it matters, okay? It's so bizarre. It's so crazy. And they do it because it gets them clicks, it gets them donations, it gets them money, it gets them attention, it gets them eyeballs, it gets them, you know, they're all a bunch of attention whores, and they're willing to sacrifice the unity of this country in the name of enriching themselves. That is Josh Hawley, for God's sake, the man who ran away like a little girl on January 6th, the man who literally left skid marks running away from the January 6th insurrectionists. That's him talking all tough. Oh, that wasn't last night. That was Friday. Okay. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene last night. I mean, this is crazy.
Here's what you can expect from Republicans.
Oh, okay.
We will be investigating and holding people accountable. There's a lot of traitors and criminals that need to be held accountable.
Project much? This is your 1776 moment. I had nothing to do with January 6th. I was a victim of January 6th. This is your 1776 moment. Honestly, you have a competitor. She has a challenger. His name is Marcus Flowers. He's an awesome guy. He's got a lot of character. He's got integrity. He's smarter than she is, and he's better looking. Just saying. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here's Ali Alexander, another insurrectionist.
Here's what I would say to Joe Biden. Any election I don't like is stolen. Any election where you get 81 million tabulations, not votes, is stolen. It's pretty simple. If I don't like it, it's stolen. If I like it, it's not stolen. If you win, it's stolen.
He's telling you exactly how this is going to play out. If I don't like it, it's stolen. If I do like it, it's not stolen. It has nothing to do with the country. It has nothing to do with voters. It has nothing to do with the preference of the people. It has nothing to do with the will of the people. It has nothing to do with the democracy. It has to do with me. and my minions, the people who follow me, the people who click on me, the people who listen to me, the people who like me. That's who I can agitate, okay? That's who I can convince that the election was stolen. And if I don't like it, if I don't like the result, I'm going to tell them it's stolen. And they're going to get all up in your face. They're going to get violent. They're going to go to your house. They're going to beat your husband. I'm going to tell you to meet me out back. I'm going to kick the crap out of you. Whatever eighth grade thing that I can think of. Okay? Because to them, violence is strength. There is no strength of ideas. There's no strength in a movement. There's no strength in people or people power or the will of the people or the country. All there is violence.
We are going to end crazy Nancy Pelosi's political career once and for all. Right? That's right. Of course, I think she's an animal, too. You want to know the truth. They'll say, oh, what a horrible thing he said about Nancy. She impeached me twice for nothing.
For extortion.
Yes, he's right. They will say that's a horrible thing because it's a dehumanizing thing to say about somebody who is second in line for the presidency and whose husband was just attacked in a break-in attempt where she was the target. So, you
politically
know,
motivated one.
Yeah, Donald Trump has a very long history of demanding to be treated with some level of humanity while dehumanizing others. And this was no exception, but this was pretty striking given everything that we know that's going on right now.
Well, that's why not it was... Even... Sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to say also, if you read the comments from last night, he talked about, and this is something he'd mentioned when he was in office, about how China deals with drug dealers and talking about fentanyl coming across the border, essentially praising how they have these sham trials for them in hours or less. And it's just remarkable to actually read that and to see him praising that and to see the crowd cheering that.
There is, I think, it's not underappreciated, but I actually think it's something that we need to be very focused on as we head into the next 2 years. And so much about what informs Donald Trump's idea of strength is violence. And
that's right.
You know, and that then informs what he thinks makes a good leader. And that's what you're seeing right there.
Yes. This is eighth grade, fifth grade, first grade crap. This is a bully. This is a thug. This is a person who threatens. This is a person who threatens violence. This is a person who cheers violence. Punch him in the face. Take him out on a stretcher. There are good people on both sides. Okay? This is a guy who celebrates violence as a means to an end, as a means to a political end. That is not the American way. That is not who we are. It is not what we stand for. It is not anything that people watch and say, oh, that's okay. Because my side is doing it, or because your side did this, I get to do that. I'm sorry, but this is a nation of law. Law.
All In Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
Here's one of those the apple did not fall far from the tree things.
I believe that if you're going to be in the United States Senator, you should have basic cognitive function. I mean, it doesn't seem that unreasonable, right? Like, to have a working brain, and so the media, they go after me and they say, he's an ableist, meaning he's racist against those with disabilities. I go, well, no. It's not like he's in a wheelchair and he can think, but he's incapable of forming a sentence. And they're like, it doesn't matter, because you know what? It probably doesn't. They'll put him in there. He'll vote however Chuck Schumer tells him to. You don't have to think. You just have to be able to, like, show up and, like, raise your hand. And since his comments on Roe v. Wade today, it doesn't seem like he even can do that right. But I'm sure they'll get a puppet, you know, pull the string, raise the hand one way when it matters. But that's what we're up against. We're up against a Democrat Party today that doesn't believe that a United States Senator should not have mush for brains.
Okay, this is a guy who actually advocates for, stumps for, promotes Herschel Walker. Okay, this is a guy who actually stumps for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and Mark Fincham, who's a rabid white supremacist election denier, a QAnon adherent. Okay, this guy is actually trashing John Fetterman, who is getting better every single day, recovering from a stroke. Okay, but this guy here in January, he will still be a douche. Okay, just saying. Apple did not fall far from the tree. Jim in New York.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
You know, I remember you from living in South Florida back in the old days, listening to you on the radio back then, and I just stumbled across you on the TV. I wanted to just bring up something. So you mentioned about, you know, social media and all the right-wingers fostering all the violence and all that. Well, you know, what happened back in 2020 when all the leftists were out there, all the politicians and actors and actresses and all the crazies were out there, you know, pushing the violence, and we had 2 months of riots and chaos and mayhem. And
well, those and people were arrested, you know.
Oh, they were. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They were? Oh,
yes.
So who was arrested?
17,000 people were arrested for the BLM protest.
So I'm talking about the politicians.
Most of them were arrested for curfew violations, but there were 300 prosecutions of people that actually did felonious violence. But you don't
see... No, but I'm talking about the politicians who fostered
what politicians?
It, the ones who pushed it.
Who?
Maxine Waters,
what did
AOC,
she say? What did she
all
say?
The squad.
What did she say? She said,
Maxine,
she
Maxine
said,
Waters,
she said,
they,
get
I,
in.
You know what they said. They all talked about that you need to take to the
what did she say? Tell me. Tell me what she said.
She said,
tell me what she said.
They need to continue taking to the streets to have our voice be heard.
Right.
That's what Maxine Waters said.
That sounds like protest to me.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of places burning down, you know, people burning
their neighborhoods
down. People
that did that, the people that did that were arrested. You understand, right? The people that did it were arrested.
Yeah, they were.
Most of them were in New York, and you should know that because you're calling me from New York. Yes, they were arrested. So 17,000 people were arrested for BLM protests. 17,000, mostly for curfew violations, just saying. Okay. And then after Jacob Blake was killed in Kenosha, you remember your guy, Rittenhouse? Yeah, he killed a couple of people. Yeah, your guy. And you celebrated him because he actually murdered people. But 300 people did stand trial for felonies for arson and, you know, defacing various businesses. They did. Violence is never okay. But you see, you want to do that, you know, well, you did this, so we did that thing, which is bullcrap. Okay, it's bullcrap because no one is pro-violence around here. No one. And here, what we're talking about is the smashing of the skull of an 82-year-old man who was married to the Speaker of the House in the middle of the night, okay, in the middle of the night by somebody who is a maggot. And somehow that's the same as people who violated their curfew. What? How does your brain even get there from that? Moral equivalency. There is none. Okay. You don't break into the Speaker of the House, her house, and threaten to kidnap her husband so you can wait for her to break her kneecaps and say there's a moral equivalency to Maxine Waters, who said, get in their face. That's what she said. And you forgot Chuck Schumer, who said after Roe v. Wade fell that you will reap the whirlwind, which in your mind means, you know, break into Nancy Pelosi's house and break her husband's skull. How do you get there? How do you even get there from what we're talking about? It never ceases to amaze me. It really never does. Robert in California.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi.
You know, the weirdest thing is like, you just blow my mind because, like, I just want to talk about you because I take care of my 91-year-old mom. And my sister comes over every Monday to give her a bath and, you know, give her the pill regimen for the week and everything. And the weirdest thing to me is, like, she's like, turn on Randy Rhoads. I'm like, okay, then you do something. You got a subject. And then me and her start corresponding to each other, like, you know, this and that. And the very next thing after we think this and that, bam, you see it on TV. It's like, that's Randy. She knows it, man, you know. It's all about self-discipline and loving each other. This is what it's all
really about.
About
logic and reason. over power. That's what it is. It's about logic and reason. And people have lost the ability to reason their way through any difficult situation. They've just lost it. They've lost the ability to reason. You know, they equate Donald Trump's loss by virtue of, you know, losing an election to, I don't know, people who were protesting the murder of black people unarmed, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And some of those protests, even though 90% of them were peaceful, some of those protests went off the rails, got entirely too heated. And the people that heated it up, the people that did do violence, they were arrested, put on trial. Okay, there were 300 trials. You missed all of them? Every last one of them? You know, Stuart Rhodes is on trial right freaking now for seditious conspiracy. Are you missing that one too? People, this is a nation of law, okay? But honestly, I just don't understand what happened to people's ability to reason, to have a logical conclusion, to know that these one of these things is not like the other. Do you know what I'm saying? That losing an election is not the same as being told that you can murder unarmed people one after the other after the other, and you're supposed to sit down, shut up, and take it. How are those the same things in your head? I will say that anybody that got violent, they were prosecuted. That really happened. There were also interlopers too. There were people that were breaking windows, and at the AutoZone, the Umbrella Man, okay, and inciting the violence.
This is the Randy Rhodes Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
The truth matters, but only if you hear it. Right now, Democrats are actively running on trying to save or preserve our democracy. Republicans are running on culture war issues that are rooted in fear. Mm-hmm. But many of these culture war issues have no basis of truth, right? Case in point, there are no litter boxes in schools. There wasn't, there were, there's never going to be. Litter boxes. There a point where voters realize they're just being, this is fear-mongering. They're being lied to. They're being trained to be scared. At some point, will they stop falling for this nonsense?
Well, God willing. And, you know, the best antidote to lies and falsehoods and conspiracies is the truth. And we just need to keep hammering away that these candidates who just divide, and tear down really have nothing to offer. Your viewers who are concerned about the cost of living, who are concerned about the fabric of our democracy or safe neighborhoods or their children's education, we need candidates who focus on solutions, not just cheap political tactics to gain high public office and then they do nothing once they get there. So, you know, people who run for office on the basis of all or nothing shouldn't be surprised if we end up with nothing.
Don't be surprised. Mr. New York, don't be, shocked and appalled when nothing happens, when nothing changes, when, the country is being threatened with a shutdown and the economy is going to, you know, go through the freaking floor. Don't be shocked. Don't be appalled when the, you know, air traffic controllers can't go to work because, you know, they shut down the government. Don't be shocked and appalled. Holy crap, man. I swear to God, you're being used and abused. And to sit there and say, oh, but Maxine Waters said, get in their face or something like that in response to an unbelievable amount of shootings of unarmed black men in this country and people peacefully protesting in 97% of the protests, peacefully protesting. But then, of course, because the protests were so humongous, some people got out of control. Some people went crazy. Some people looted. Some people burned. Some people broke windows. Some people were doing it from the Republican side to try to incite the story. Other people were actually doing it. And whoever did break the law, they met the bar of justice. But for some reason, you missed all of it. You missed every last trial. You missed every single bit of the arrests. You missed it all. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're watching. I don't know. But anyway, we do have some solutions. This is Tim Ryan, who you know is running for the Senate seat in Ohio. I would hope he prevails tonight.
A tax that President Biden mentioned, a tax on oil companies' profits. Are you for that?
I haven't looked at exactly what he wants to do. I think the fact that oil companies are making huge profits and having stock buybacks right now, while average person here is paying nearly $4 a gallon, I think that's wrong. And I think we need to crack down. We need to crack down on that.
Oh, look, a little bit of truth seeped into Fox News. And it got applause. Ain't that something? Ain't that just a hoot? Yeah, Tim Ryan, you know, actually went on Fox News.
A lot of people fall into that nonviolent category. Including drug traffickers, including drug possession, including people who distribute child pornography. So all those people should be let out?
Well, what I'm talking about here is marijuana crimes.
Ah.
I think we need to legalize marijuana. Hmm. I think...
Well, you said all nonviolent criminals out for sure.
I'm sorry?
You said all nonviolent criminals
well,
out
I,
for
I
sure.
Well, I think the focus is marijuana crimes, in my mind, right? We spend, this may be the stupidest expenditure of federal money and public taxpayer money in the history of our country. Huh. You get caught with marijuana, then you end up in prison. And that is insane for us. We should tax the marijuana and we should put it into addiction treatment. We should use it to keep fentanyl and these hardcore drugs out of our country, out of our society. We should invest in the shop class. We should invest into early childhood education. There's so many better ways to spend this money than locking somebody up for marijuana crimes. And especially when white and black people use marijuana equally, black people are six times more likely to go to prison. Like, that's an unfair system. I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, look, Fox News, their audience applauds Democrat Tim Ryan for having some solutions to some of our problems. Look at that. Isn't that something? So, by the way, Arkansas, Maryland, Missouri, North Dakota, and South Dakota all have measures or amendments or questions on their ballots today to legalize marijuana use for people who are at least 21 years old. Yes. In Arkansas, it would also legalize the commercial sale of weed. It would raise revenue that would fund the police. Well, isn't that something? Maryland, question four, legalizes weed for adults and asks the state legislature to pass laws addressing the use, distribution, regulation, and taxation of marijuana. It allows people who are convicted of marijuana possession to have their records expunged. It's already decriminalized in Maryland, but the supporters of this proposal say that they want to see people's records expunged. It doesn't go far enough. Missouri, you have Amendment 3. It is a legalized weed for Missourians age 21 and up. It allows people convicted of nonviolent marijuana offenses to apply to be released from incarceration and or have their records expunged. North Dakota, Measure 2, it allows adults ages 21 and older to possess a tiny little amount of weed. And in South Dakota, Measure 27, you have to vote again. See, South Dakota, they already legalized weed. They voted to legalize weed. But Kristi Noem, who really needs to lose today, Governor Kristi Noem filed a lawsuit to kill the proposal of violating the will of the people of South Dakota. And so you have to vote on it, South Dakota, again, today, again. Because you have a governor that doesn't respect you, doesn't respect the will of the people. Now, I need to tell you something real quick. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm watching the weather. Obviously, I am sitting in Palm Beach County, Florida, and there is a hurricane coming at us. It right now is a tropical storm. We don't, here in South Florida, tropical storm. We laugh. Now, what happens, though, sometimes is we lose electricity and or, cable and things like that. So it may not be we may not be able to broadcast tomorrow. On the other hand, it could turn into a Category 1 or 2, in which case we're looking at 100-mile-an-hour winds and flooding beyond belief and da-da-da-da-da. And so we'll make the call about whether we can work and whether or not we should work, which are two different questions, my friend in New York. No logic, no reason. But yes, we'll make the call in the morning, or, you know, like early morning or early afternoon, like 10, 11 o'clock. We'll get to see a current track, and we'll know whether or not this thing formed and whether or not it's spinning and how fast it's moving and how much rain it's going to dump, etc. And we'll make the call tomorrow. So if we're not here tomorrow, which would really pain me because, you know, the election is just going on now. And there are places, obviously, we won't know the result, like Nevada. We're not going to know the result. Pennsylvania could take till Saturday because they're not allowed to count the absentee ballots. They're not allowed to count the mail-ins. They're not allowed to count anything in the drop box until today, because that's Pennsylvania. So we won't know some of the answers to our election questions for a while. But we will know some of the election questions answers tomorrow. And I would love to be here. I would love to. So I'm just giving you, you know, some sort of a heads up that we may or may not be able to do the show tomorrow. So if you tune in and you hear a rerun, or you tune in and you hear something that sounds expired, it sounds like, you know, but we already had the election. That's why. Just need to tell you that. All right. David in California.
Oh, hi, Randy. Long time no talk.
Good.
You know, tomorrow, if whether the elections go easy or horrible, remember there's no honor among thieves, and those old boys are going to do a feeding frenzy, and it was quite often you can get some things done during that feeding frenzy. But the real reason I called, you've mentioned the various counties and states where they're doing death threats against the poll workers and the elections officials. I've been trying to find an actual listing of the various counties. For example, Michigan, as I understand it, 50 counties in Michigan have had resignations because of these death threats. Have you seen a website that actually lists these various
counties? Yes, it's called the newspaper. Should read one. Oh, no, I need a list. Yes, you should read the newspaper. It actually goes through the stories of the death threats that, you know, election workers are facing. Like Georgia, for instance. You might recall, you know, Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss. You know, like that. Yeah. Listen, we're down to Howard being a poll worker today. My Howard. Yeah. All right, hopefully we'll talk tomorrow.